Okay, and our guest, Oliver Williams. Next hour, we'll take all your phone calls. But this hour, while I'm chatting with Oliver about the incredible story of the time travel tale of John Titor, if John is out there, please, John, call this number, 818-817-0021. Maybe you're still there and you just have decided not to post anymore. We don't know. And Oliver will, of course, chat with you. And if for some reason Oliver believes you're not John Titor, he'll just tell us. And no one's feelings are hurt. 818-817-0021, only if you're John Titor. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Oliver Williams. We're going to keep the John Titor line open just in case. You never know. Oliver, I take it you have a pretty good sense if that would be Titor or not. Would you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, very good. Okay, let's go back a little bit as we were discussing the possibilities with John Titor and why he did what he did. Do you think he was being a good guy about all this, or as we talked about the possibility of a, you know, disinformation specialist?
Well, if he was a disinformation specialist, I'm not sure, you know, how much damage he could have done, except maybe confusing some people. But I felt like he thought he knew better. And he was a little arrogant, and he was a little disappointed with us. It's almost like a father scolding a child. And it was like, you don't know what's good for you, so I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing. But what I'm doing in the long run is going to be good for you, but it's going to be painful. And that was sort of the attitude that I think he had.
Let's go to the hotline as someone purporting to be John Titor is on the line. Hi there.
How's it going?
Good. Very good. So you are John Titor?
My name is John Titor.
Well, it could be John Titor. I don't know if he's the time traveler or not. But Oliver, ask him a few questions and let's figure it out.
Oh, sure. Okay. Tell me what your father did in 2036 after the war to make money.
He smoked crack and sold X-Pills, Doc.
No, that's not John.
That's not John. He's out. And we're going to get a lot of those.
Oh, I know. I get a lot of them in my email.
Oh, do you?
Oh, absolutely. George, you know, I think we talked about this last time, too. I get at least 10 death threats every week.
What?
And it's stuff in huge capital letters. You know those kind of emails?
Yeah.
And every word is an expletive. For some reason, there's a portion of the population that this story just ticks the heck out of them.
Do you try to track them down?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean,
you don't do that, huh?
There
are ways, you know.
Well, actually, now, you know, the agreement I have with my family is I try not to get too involved on a personal level because I know for a fact, looking at the posts, Larry has gone through this himself. He's had people track his kids down, take pictures of them at their school, post it online, post how to get to his office, how to get to his house. I mean, Larry has taken a lot of abuse over this story, and I'm definitely not looking forward to any of that.
Who would be doing this?
You know, I as I said, there's a group of people, a small percentage of the people that read this, and for some reason, what John said makes them very angry. They want to track the person down who's responsible for this, tar and feather them, drag it through the streets, and I don't know why they feel that way, but they do.
Man, it really does get them that upset.
Yeah.
Earth catastrophes, what did he say?
You know, John had three rules when he was talking about what he would answer. He said he's not going to answer any questions that would allow you to make money, so he's not going to give you any stock tips or tell you how to do that. He said he was not going to allow you, or he wasn't going to answer any questions that would allow somebody to avoid death by probability. So in other words, he would not answer any questions about where there would be an earthquake or a volcano or a hurricane. He refused to do that. And the third one was he would not answer specific questions about names. Like you say, who is the president in 2009? He would not tell you the name because then you would have the opportunity to alter that person's life and then change things. So those were his three rules. So as a result of that, he never gave any specific information about natural disasters.
He also didn't talk much about, like, sporting events or gambling things. He didn't try to profit off this.
No, as a matter of fact, that was one question that really made him mad, was that, you know, here you are, this opportunity to talk to a time traveler about religion, philosophy, physics, and all you want to know is what stock should I buy? Because I'm greedy and I want to make money and take advantage of you and screw other people. That's the question I have for you, Mr. Time Traveler. And that really made him upset.
Do you remember the story of another time traveler who apparently took $500, came back into time, made a killing on Wall Street? They put him in jail, and one day he was just gone.
I do remember that. That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was an incredible story, and I don't know what happened to him.
Well, you know, if you've got the ability to travel around in time, George, seriously, is that what you'd be concerned about?
No.
Okay.
So absolutely not. Honestly, if I could go back into time, Oliver, I would like to go back into the biblical period to try to witness this. Because to me, that's probably one of the greatest stories of mankind. And I'd like to see that. I might even want to go back to the Sumerian days to see if truly we had visitors, the Anunnaki, from a planet X.
Well, you know, George, since you bring that up, let me throw this at you. Let's say you do go back 2,000 years in time, and you inadvertently do something which changes what happens 2,000 years ago. How would you feel? Would you feel guilty about that?
Maybe I'd pull him down off the cross.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to...
I don't think he'd let me, though.
What are our responsibilities, is if we could travel in time, what exactly are our responsibilities on that?
It would be so difficult not to try to get involved.
Well, you know, the other thing John said about time travel is that if you were to do something like that, you'd have to stay in that reality in order to experience the results. So you couldn't go back in time and kill Hitler and then go forward in time to see how things go.
Right.
So if you think about that, how does that affect morality? In other words, you could do all sorts of things, or there are other versions of you doing all sorts of evil things out there. You know, there's a good George and there's a bad George. So if you believe in God, how does God judge us in totality if there's an infinite number of Georges out there doing evil things and infinite number of Georges out there doing good things?
Let's go to another John Teeter call. Hello there.
Hello. Yeah. I'm John. Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show. Go ahead, Oliver, because you know John Teeter better than I.
John, tell us what your favorite food is.
Hold on.
Hello?
I think he's looking it up.
Oh, we've lost another one. But he sounded like he was trying to alter his voice. Yeah, he's gone. But you're here, Oliver, aren't you?
I'm still here.
Okay, yeah, he's gone. So it sounded like he was trying to alter his voice. John Teeter, he's gone now, Oliver.
Okay, I'm here.
I got rid of him, so he's off and away. Anyways, back to some of the things. Mad cow disease, you touched on that. We really haven't had a huge problem with that yet.
Well, you know, you're right. He said that it wasn't going to hit until the year 2034, 35. That's when people were going to start dropping. And, you know, I didn't pay much attention to that until I went back and started reading on, you know, how long the gestation period is for mad cow. But since you brought that up, this is actually one of the things that got me started on the roller coaster for the last couple of months. There was a story, and this ended up on my radar, and I put it in the back of my head, and I'm going, that can't be right. Do you recall there was a huge beef recall not too long ago?
Yes, huge, the biggest ever.
Right, and they said, and they didn't say why, and I went and looked it up, and apparently they're afraid that for the last year, there might have been some bad beef that got into the population, and they fed it to our kids.
Well, because there a lot of the cattle and cows that they used were stumbling, which is a sign of the possibility of mad cow and the way they were killing them.
Absolutely,
and you're right; it's already in the food system.
Yeah, and they sent it to schools. The other thing, when I started looking this up, is somebody, you know, there's a huge article, and you can find it on my website. Basically, their policy is don't ask, don't test. That, you know, the FDA is becoming incredibly lax in catching this, and they just sort of look the other way when these cows are going through. And John said this is going to be a gigantic problem in our future.
You know, we've talked about the possibility that John Teeter might be out there calling in. Do you think that is possible, or do you think he is gone?
You know, I think the John that was here is gone. If John is here, it's going to be a different John based on how he described time travel worked. So, you know, if he's a real time traveler, he had a mission to complete. He got the computer, he needed to do what he was doing here, and he left.
Did he talk about other time travelers being here also at the same time?
No. He did say there are 7 other time travelers in his unit, and they were out doing different things. He said that the real use in a time machine is not so much going back and altering the history or even looking at what's going on. It's getting things, because you can physically get something and bring it back with you. He says that's the real value in time travel. And that's what he's doing. He went back to get that old computer. And you know, I'll bring this up too. A lot of people write in and they say, oh, that's ridiculous. If you had the ability to travel in time, why would you have to go back and get an old computer for the future? And I found an article, and this is, again, on our website. NASA routinely goes to eBay looking for old computer parts because they're no longer manufactured to keep the space shuttle running. So there is precedent for doing that. I mean, NASA's doing it right now. So it's not a ridiculous idea that you'd have to go back to get old technology.
You know, Oliver, did he ever get scared of anything?
You know, he was terrified of eating food here. That was the one thing he said over and over again. He didn't know where the food came from. He couldn't believe that we would walk into a fast food restaurant and order food that you couldn't see prepared, that you didn't know you grew yourself. He mentioned that multiple times, and that actually scared the heck out of him. He was also apparently very sensitive to the air. You know, he, I guess, had a good sense of smell, and he felt the same way about water. You know, he boiled it. He wanted to make sure he knew where it was coming from. So my take on that is, in the future, I guess that's a big problem. But he was terrified of the food and the water here.
Did he talk about the cars or the fuel system of the future?
Yes, he made. In fact, this is something I've been keeping up on, and I think, in fact, I heard your guest mention it when I was listening to the show earlier tonight. He said that there is a huge industry in converting propane into hydrogen.
Right.
Or is it vice versa? He said that is a huge, huge industry in the future. And I've been trying to follow that. I look it up every now and then, and I'll see maybe one or two references to it on the internet, and it's slowly starting to grow. And then I heard your guest mention it tonight. So I think anybody paying attention to this might want to watch that, because I think that's going to be the next big thing in the future. He said that there are high-speed trains that connect, you know, the cities and the communities. There are cars. There are just not a whole lot of them. And people ride more bikes than they ride horses.
Did he talk about industry? Did people work? How did they make money? Was there money?
Yeah, yes, there was money. And there was industry. There was manufacturing. But not nearly on the scale that we see today. You know, it was more centralized in various areas. Like, this city produced cars. This city made computers. You know, so if you wanted to do that, you went to that city to do it. So there was more specialization in a community, but there wasn't nearly the manufacturing capacity that we have now.
All right, let's try another John Teeter line here. So far we've had two frauds. Go ahead, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing fine. Go ahead, Oliver. Let's test him.
All right. Tell me where you lived in Florida during the World War.
Where did I live in Florida?
Yep.
Fort Lord?
Another fraud. We're 0-3.
You know what's amazing to me is, why do they call in?
They're having fun. they're trying to stump you, Oliver. But see, they probably thought I would be asking the questions. You're the one who knows all about John Teeter, so you're the one who's going to find out if they are real or not. And they are not. But do you actually think, in the future, time travel will be possible? Because there's a mixed court out there.
You know what, George? 5 years ago, I would have said this is science fiction. After reading all this about John Teeter, and now today, just take a look at the science that backs up what he said. In the last 5 years, I'll give you an example. When he was talking about multiple realities, he said the Everett Wheeler model of the universe is correct. And they were the first guys, I believe, that came up with the idea of multiple realities. Well, fast forward 4 years, and now Michio Kaku and other scientists are saying, look, multiple realities has to be real in order for all these other things to be right. So now that's becoming an accepted part of science. Real scientists are talking about, yes, multiple realities do exist. About 6 months ago, a group of scientists came forward and said, if you were going to time travel, you would need a donut-shaped black hole. Well, I challenge you, go look up what John said about time travel and how it works, and he mentions that exact thing. He says the black holes create a donut-shaped gravity field, and that's how you travel in time. Just recently, scientists like John Kramer and Ronald Mallett are now getting real money from the government to actually pursue how to make time machines. I know Ronald Mallett is busy doing it now, and he has a series of rotating light beams, and he expects to be able to inject a small particle into it and actually test if this theory works. So there is money being spent on building these machines.
I think if anybody gets close, it will be Mallett.
Oh, I agree.
He's very good at this.
And last but not least, George, and this is one of the big things that's been happening recently, two Russian scientists have come forward and with a paper basically saying as soon as CERN turns on their collider in May, that is going to be the starting point for time travel, and that they expect that what they're doing there will lead to that technology.
Did John Teeter talk about, because he talked about CERN way before we even knew about it, did he talk about CERN in the future that something goes wrong?
No, he didn't say anything goes wrong. He said that is the starting point for time travel. It is discoveries they make at CERN that lead to the creation or the ability to capture these mini black holes. Now, here's something else interesting, too, and you can go to my website and check this out. And I found this just a couple of weeks ago. There is a scientist, a physicist at CERN, that did a special, I think, with PBS and Nova. And it's on the Internet, and you can see the whole thing. And it's basically Ask the Physicist. And there are questions on there that sound a lot like somebody knew the John Teeter story when they're asking them. He said, tell me, these things going on at CERN, will it lead to proof that multiple realities exist? Will it lead to the beginning of time travel? You know what his answer was?
What?
We don't know. Yes, that's a possibility. Now, George, that is not science fiction. That is what physicists at CERN are saying. So, you know, I'm not the judge of whether or not this is real. They're the ones that are saying it's a possibility.
Well, the next half hour, we're going to hear from Larry Haber, the attorney for the family. I had thought there was going to be some kind of movie made about John Teeter. There was something small. Anything out there?
I haven't heard. I've been trying to keep track of that. There is a group of people out there that are apparently putting a film together, and they're releasing bits and pieces of it on the Internet. I don't know what the progress with that has been, but I'm looking forward to seeing that, too.
Well, you know, I had thought for a moment that the family was going to try to make a bundle on this, or that John Teeter was a well-thought-out, multi-year hoax for something. I don't believe that anymore.
Well, I'm not sure I believe that either. I mean, if you were going to do that, you would have done it a long time ago.
Yeah, they would have.
You know, I'm thinking that if it's true, if the family's involved, if Larry's involved, if they're doing something, it may not be for what we think it is. Does that make any sense? It may be they're trying to do something else, get another message out, leave a footprint on the Internet, and that's all they're trying to do.
That could be. That could be. Tell me a little bit about the John Teeter website.
Sure. We just updated it. Of course, we've got all the news that we just talked about. I do a little podcast. I've been trying to keep up with it. So if you want to hear me yapping about latest things going on with John Teeter, you can go there and find out. And if you look up John Teeter on YouTube, you can see some videos I left there myself. And, of course, a whole ton of stuff other people are doing.
What do you think he looks like?
That's a good question. I think, and this is something he posted, I think he's a white male. I think he's in his late 30s. I think his hair is short. I think he wears very functional clothing that's natural colored. He said he didn't like wearing bright colors because, you know, he was afraid. He made reference to the fact that he was fearful of wearing bright colors because he was easily seen. You know, he wore greens and blacks and things like that. So I think those are all leftover things from his childhood.
He wanted to blend in. Stay with us, Oliver. Much more to come on Coast to Coast AM. And our special guest, Oliver Williams, next hour, we'll open up the phone lines for you. I'm just about giving up on our John Teeter hotline. John is probably gone. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Oliver Williams. Oliver, what about the possibilities that Teeter was just someone from our own time era, but he was a psychic and was just very intuitive?
Well, I suppose that's possible, but even that's remarkable. You know, the best theory I've heard, if he's not a time traveler, is that it's a large group of people, maybe 10 or 12, that all specialize in one or two things, and then they got together
and created this guy.
Yeah. You know, if you think about it, you'd have to know about physics. You'd have to be able to draw. You'd have to, you know about science. You know, there's a whole host of things you'd have to be able to know about to do this.
But the bottom line is they still saw the future, whoever they may
got
be.
It right, yeah. You know, there's a couple of things here. These are just little, but just to whet your appetite, here's a couple of interesting things that happened in the last few weeks, which I thought were kind of interesting. When John was asked to – he was asked once if there was any poetry from his time that he remembered. And he recited a few lines from a poem that he said was written in the future. It's called A Soldier's Winter. And I got an email about a month ago from a guy who found that poem online. It was written in 2005 by a soldier, as John said. And when you look at the lines, they are damn close to exactly what John was talking about. And he said that as time went on in the future, it was changed and added to. But that poem now exists 5 years after John said it was going to be written. Something else he pointed out was that he said that in the future, the internet is done by using these self-powered, solar-powered nodes that can transfer the internet quite a long distance. And last week, Motorola came out and said they now have it. It's a little box that goes on top of, you know, like a telephone pole. It's solar-powered, and apparently you can space these things about 60 miles. You can use these things about 60 miles apart, and it was exactly the system that John described.
Of everything that he talked about, what one prediction, what one glance into the future still amazes you?
You know, I still lean on the CERN thing because, in my opinion, if John isn't real, then the science is not going to be real. I mean, you can say, oh, we stopped the Civil War, you know, oh, this isn't coming true. But if the science is real about time travel, then I think that there's something to this. And so far, it has been. Everything he said about the way his time machine works and about the way the science works has now being backed up by real scientists and real money.
What if they can only go into the future, in the future? You just can't go back.
Well, you know, I looked into this when he talked about a specific thing. Anybody can go online and look this up. It's a special type of black hole called a Kerr black hole. And I guess it was a scientist who's still alive. I think his name is Roger Kerr. I can't remember his exact name. But he laid out the exact mathematics for these special types of black holes where you could pass through them safely and end up in a different universe. So to some degree, you're right, George. You can't travel back in your own time, but you can appear to travel back in time by passing through this black hole into an alternate universe. So, you know, based on the math, based on what he said, you know, it looks like it might be real.
You know, it's incredible. We're going to play the portion of the Larry Haber interview in about 7 minutes or so, Oliver. He was picked up, the Teeter story was picked up all over the place. Even Larry Flint, publisher of a Hustler magazine, is interested
in him. That was 2 years ago. And in fact, I still get, you know, I get requests to do newspaper interviews, lots of little broadcasts on the internet are still interviewing about it. So, you know, a lot of people are just finding out about it now.
You're not John Teeter, are you?
No, George, I'm not. I do get that every now and then.
I always ask you that. It's the disclaimer of the moment.
You know, I'm trying to think, you know, if I was John Teeter, what would I do? How, you know, would I have done anything differently? And, you know, no, I'm not. I get that all the time, but no, I'm not John Teeter.
Did John ever talk about going beyond 2036?
Yes, he did. He said that there are missions that go into the future, but they're not really that useful. So, you know, he was hoping that maybe that would be on his mission profile when he got back, but he wasn't betting on it. You know, if you think about it, if you go into the future, you're only going to be able to experience what's going on in that world line, then you got to come back. So you're not really going to change anything, or you're going to bring any useful information back that's 100% accurate.
Well, that is true, too. Would you like John Teeter to come back, Oliver?
You know, yeah, it would be interesting to talk to him. I think looking at what he said, I think there were a lot of things he wanted to talk about that nobody asked him. You know, religion, philosophy, you know, how the universe works. I think all of those discussions would have been very interesting.
Pretend you are interviewing John Teeter, and of course, let's have you play both parts for a second. What would you ask him first?
I would ask point blank, why he came to 2000 and 2001. What was it that he changed or did that he referred to that he was trying to fix? And I think that would give us a lot more insight into what's going on in the world today. That's the one thing.
What do you think he'd say?
I think there's a high chance he felt guilty about altering Y2K so it doesn't happen for us. And I don't know how he would have done that. You know, maybe he talked to enough people where they looked at it in 1975 and said, oh, my gosh, this guy's right. We need to fix this now. And that's why it didn't happen. But there was something that happened in 1975 that was compelling enough for him to go, you know, off mission and spend a lot of time here.
I wonder what happens when the little John Teeter of today grows up. He's aware, you said that the time traveler met the little John Teeter himself. I wonder if the little John Teeter knew who he was. I mean, did he say, I'm you in the future, little guy? And the guy probably is, the little kid has no idea what he's talking
about. Yeah, I think, you know, see, I'm thinking about that. And John claims to have been born in 1998. So if he went to 1998, that might have been the reason he went there. That was when he was born or about to be born. So he came forward to 2000, 2001, he would have been two or three. So I don't think he'd been old enough to know who he was, but, you know, certainly that had to be a bizarre experience, meeting yourself, you know, as a kid. I recall him saying that he remembers incidents where he saw his parents interacting with his young self, and then he had realizations about why they were doing that or why he was the kind of person that he was. You know, imagine being able to go back in time and look at your parents interacting with you and then having an insight as to how that affected your personality and made you who you were.
What would you do if you saw yourself, Oliver, as a little boy?
You know, George, I don't know. You know, it seems fascinating, but at the same time, it seems scary, doesn't it? I mean,
I would. You know what I'd say? Well, I'm kidding, of course. Microsoft.
Yeah, Microsoft, exactly. But see, again, you know, that's exactly the kind of thinking that just ticks him off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, is that what you're thinking about when you go back in time? It shows how greedy, and not you, of course, but as a society.
No, I was only kidding. I would never do that if I had inside information back into the future. Boy, that would really, you know, if time travel is possible, that would really screw up the stock exchange, wouldn't it?
No, absolutely. You know, the other thing I think is interesting, and the perspective I have on this, is that if time travel is real, the way he described it, then it's sort of a personal experience that you could never absolutely explain to somebody else. I mean, think about it. If you were a time traveler, George, how could you absolutely prove to somebody that you were telling the truth? You really couldn't do it unless you took them in your time machine and traveled in time with them. But if you did that, then they would never be able to get back to where they started to tell all their friends that it's real.
Unless you gave them predictions that would come true, that were not too far into the future, so that the individual in question could witness them.
Right. But even now, you know, it's ridiculous, George. How can you believe in this? I mean, I second guess it all the time. I just can't bring myself to fully believe that this is true.
Well, I know that. I agree with that, except if one believes that in the future time travel is possible, then you have to conclude that they came back during different time periods, like the UFOs could be. Lots of people speculate that they are future time travelers. I mean, so that is possible. I mean, when we open up the phone lines, when Art has opened up the phone lines and time travelers call, sure, most of it's entertainment and fun, and 99.999% of the people are people here on this planet during this time period. But, you know, there's always that moment of doubt that if time travel is possible, then you're going to get a time traveler who calls the phone. Now, Larry Haber is the attorney for the John Teeter family when they were living in Florida, and then they moved to Nebraska. I had an opportunity about 2 years ago to talk with him, and we also talked with John Teeter's mother through Larry Haber. This is an edited version. We tightened it up a little bit, but I would ask Haber a question to John Teeter's mother, and Larry would relay it and then get the answer and bring it back. So for brevity, we've put this together. Larry, can you tell us, first of all, your association with either John Teeter, the time traveler, or the family?
I was contacted by a friend of mine from law school a few years ago and said that he was looking for somebody that did some entertainment law work, which I do, and then explained to me this, the story that is probably pretty well known to the people that are listening right now. And I said, well, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and I don't believe it. He said, no, I'll give it a try. I really need some help with this thing. So I went ahead and took the couple of calls and have been involved with it for the last 3 years now.
Are you baffled, perplexed? It is indeed a strange story, is it not?
Baffled, perplexed, and everything in between, sure. I have no idea if any of this is real or not or true or not. I know that they believe it's real. The few times I've had direct contact with the family and the many times I've had it through my friend have led me to believe that these guys really think that everything they keep talking about is absolutely real. But I'm too far removed from it to really get a good handle on it.
Larry, have you met anybody face-to-face?
No, okay. I have not, except for my friend who I haven't seen him in years, so... I know the person that has made the contact with me, but not anybody from the family. Just a couple of phone conversations with John's mom, Kay, and that's all I've had.
Okay, but you still represent them, I assume.
I represent them, that's correct.
Okay, now I understand you have Kay on another line. She does not want to come on the program directly with her voice, but she will answer questions through you. So let me first of all ask you if Kay saw a John Teeter from the future John Teeter.
Okay, let me ask.
Has Kay seen John Teeter from the future?
She's telling me that when he left in March of 2001, she hasn't seen the older version of him since then.
Since then?
Correct.
Is there a smaller version of John Teeter? And if so, how old is he right now?
There is, and he's about to turn 8 years old.
About to turn 8 years old. Has the 8-year-old John Teeter met the adult John Teeter from the future?
I'm glad I'm asking her that. I couldn't answer any of these things. Hold on. They were together for the 3 years when John was here. The future John was here in the past, I should say. It gets a little confusing.
Did her future son talk to her at all about the family, how long they would live, or anything personal like that?
Kay was pretty insistent that she said that at the time she said, absolutely not, I don't want to know any details of the future because she was just spooked her. So as far as I can tell from her right now, they have no idea about anything that took place in the future or will take place in the future.
Larry, how did she first come about and meet the John Teeter from the future? How did that all occur for her?
In April of 98, he visited them in Florida and stayed for a couple of months and came back in June and spent the next 3 years with them, but knew how to find him because obviously he knew where he was living back then.
Why did she believe this individual who would probably show up at their doorstep and say, hi, Mom, I'm John Teeter.
I'm John, right.
Yeah.
Good one, because, again, that's the biggest one for me to try to figure out. Hold on. Good question. She says, to first meeting, she knew it was him, but it took her about a day to really accept it or figure it out that it was real, or that it really could be real. I don't think she still was convinced that quickly, but you know, she's telling me I'm trying to repeat the words. How can a mother not know her son, basically?
Even if he's much older.
Right, right.
Was she proud of him?
Basically terrified.
Terrified of him. Why?
Terrified. I think it's for the same reason, not wanting to be on the phone now or get more involved than it this way. Just when you get hit with something like that, she said, basically, I'm not that sophisticated a person, and to get hit with something like that, it was, you know, why would my son come back? What's wrong in the future? What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to everybody? And so on. So it took her a while to get over the fear, you know, very afraid, very fearful. Almost terrified, I think, from given the way her voice sounds.
Is she pretty well convinced that John went back to his own time era, or has he moved on to other time periods?
She doesn't personally believe he went anywhere else. He really didn't enjoy what he went to do the first time around, and she thinks that he probably would have stayed and not accepted taking another assignment.
Okay, so if I understand you, she thinks that John Teeter from the future is still here in our time period.
No, 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 is in his current time frame in the future.
She went back.
Didn't do any more time traveling, right?
Okay.
And that's part of the reason why he's probably hasn't been back here.
Understand. There is a book that is being sold now. It's called John Teeter, A Time Traveler's Tale. It's a paperback. It's by John Teeter. I assume is written by the mother. Do you, Larry, as the attorney, do you have anything to do with that? Do you represent them on that at all?
Just in terms of getting the publishing, I mean, I can tell you that all I was responsible for was to make sure that the copyrights were filed correctly. The thing's really incidental to it, but had no other involvement with the book itself.
Self-published, or is there a big publisher behind it?
Self-published. No, self-published.
Okay. Is there anything else on the horizon with regards to this John Teeter story that you know of?
Well, I am aware of a movie. Kay had hired me, or actually continued to hire me, but asked me to... about a year ago, to take a look at making some type of video or film about the story, so that it would be more widely known than just what's out there now. And so, because I do entertainment work, I'm in Orlando and do work with a lot of video companies. One of those companies is working on a film. I have no idea what stage they're at. They told me that they've spent some time some phone interviews, and they were going to put something together for release this year, but I haven't seen anything or really don't know much more about it other than that.
I'm sure the family wishes to remain somewhat anonymous, so they moved from Florida to someplace in the Midwest, I understand?
Nebraska, from what I understand, but that's just what they're telling me. I couldn't tell you if that's really where they're calling from. When they call me, it's no caller ID.
Okay, so she is relatively confidential still, I assume.
Correct, and wants to remain that way. That's the problem. I've probably only talked to her 3-4 times out of the whole couple of year period, and most of it is just through either emails or through a friend of mine that relays messages.
Well, there are a couple of possibilities, Larry, as you know and as you mentioned at the outset. Either it is a true story that there is indeed time traveling going on in the future and that some of these individuals, including John Teeter, have come back into our time period to warn us about some events, or this may be one of the most methodically thought-out hoaxes I've ever heard of, in that most hoaxes occur and they go away. This thing it seems to be well planned and well thought out as an event.
Yeah, and it's funny for me because I'm so incidental to it. I've got a full law practice and I do a whole bunch of other things, and I don't even have much time to spend on the internet to even look at it. And then when it pops up, I get all wrapped up in it again for a day or two, and then it goes away for a while, and then it comes back again.
You may be
very, very interesting for me, too.
You may be the only attorney to represent a family or a time traveler from the future.
And I am very interested in the sciences and the possibility of that, so I keep going along, and hopefully I'll find out, too, someday.
You're not getting paid in $2,036, dollars, are you?
No. At least that part of it's current.
So
but again, I'm not doing a whole lot of work. That's why I don't really get that involved with it on a day-to-day basis. It's usually just some quick questions, or how do we clear this, or do you know somebody that can produce this kind of thing. So I really do very minimal work. My involvement with stuff like this, an interview, and even I got interviewed for a documentary that was out that was produced last year, that takes up a lot more of the time than anything I've ever billed for, but it's been fun.
In your entire law practice career, is this got to be one of the strangest cases you've ever had?
This is the best. That's why I enjoy doing it. It's absolutely fun.
Okay, next hour, Oliver Williams in your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.